UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
How long is it?
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
The only nugget I'll give you, Easy's in a threesome this afternoon.
And James Strebel.
Texas says, duh, Hoosiers. Thank you for that snort into the mic.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Texas says, Round Daddy, are you and the wife going to have any alone time this Memorial Day weekend?
Fingers crossed. I think the haircut put me over the edge.
And very awkwardly, we found out in the 3 o'clock hour, I should say, a couple hours ago, that Strebel did have a good cuddly weekend.
Yes, I did.
That's how we begin hour number 3 here on ESPN 680, 105.7, ESPNLouisville.com. Andy Sweeney, James Strebel hanging out with you. Mitchell Hannigan back at the Papa John Studios. I didn't know if Mitch had it ready, Mitch. I'm sorry. I did not know if
do
you...
we do it?
I don't know.
I'm all for playing in the 5 o'clock hour. I just saw it as, you know, a beginning of the show thing.
Yeah, you're not wrong. No, you're not wrong. Anyway, 437-9680. Do need to remind you about our good friends at the Fitness Market, the 5 o'clock hour presented by the Fitness Market. Fitness Market, the Fitness Market. .com. Also type in the Fitness Market, find them on Facebook, all the good updates that they have. They are loaded with inventory, treadmills, ellipticals, spin bikes, rowers, home gyms, much, much more. You can give them a call today. Let me get that phone number for you. It's a 502 number, 882-2694, or again, thefitnessmarket.com. Also find them on Facebook. They're open. In-store sales going on. That became official last week. Still have the curbside pickup, still have the in-home delivery, and like I said, they are fully stocked, all the new equipment, and also some gently used equipment. So whatever it may be, looking to start that home gym, looking to continue and to build on to that home gym, it's the Fitness Market, thefitnessmarket.com, and again, 502-882-2694. 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line. Let me ask this question, and we'll begin. I want to get into some David Johnson stuff here in just a second. I asked Strebel this. Mitch, I want to ask you the same thing. How are you guys handling with things now being back open?
Well,
and you understand why I ask that, okay?
Yes.
It's a very deep question, and don't worry, we'll do a bunch of newer stuff today.
Yeah.
We still have, we'll replay Strebel's lovemaking sound. That's an odd way for me to tease that.
Yeah.
We will play that. We have lock sound today, right, Mitch? What else do we have?
Pat.
I mean, we have Patty Ice,
Patty
who
Ice.
I'm going to take a run at here in about 10 minutes or so, because I swear to you, I don't know, and I do believe this. That, like, social media, I don't know what that's doing to my mind as it pertains to this story. Because, you know, Drew has been having his crusade with pools.
Right.
And I believe that Drew in his neighborhood can be socially distant and can adhere to a level of the rules to where it's not Animal House, and I know that's
right.
A musty reference, but you understand what I'm saying, because the story became, and I don't know how big of a deal it was, two or three or four places over Memorial Day weekend that were just jammed with people, whether it be a boardwalk. I think there was one in Jersey. Yeah. There was one in Maryland. The Ozarks. Is
yeah,
that, that's
Lake
where,
of the Ozarks.
Like, the Lake of the Ozarks. Like, that pool. Mitch, you saw that, right? Even though you were off social media all weekend, you saw that iconic 20-second video of all those people in that pool.
Yeah, also, this might be a flex, but... I have a Snapchat friend. I'm on her private Snapchat story, and she was over at the Ozarks, and it looked like spring break 2020.
Well, can I ask you guys something about that?
Yeah.
When you see all of those people in that swimming pool, does that make you want to be in that pool or not be in that pool?
Not be in that pool.
Okay, Mitch, what's your answer?
I'm not a pool person to begin with, so my answer is also no, but it did look like a fun time.
There's my problem. Like, there's so many jock guys who are good-looking and have beautiful bodies.
Yes.
If you had a beautiful body, you would want to be in that pool, right? It's all because of the body.
It would up the chances that I would want to be in the pool. I'm just not a big crowd person normally.
But see, it did look fun.
And the
reason I bring it up is... I don't know what the, like, here's the thing. Drew's fighting the pool thing, and I think that he and his buddies can do the pool thing.
Yes,
but
I agree.
You come up with rules because the majority cannot control themselves.
Nope.
But I don't know what social media does to something like that, to where you get 3, 4, 5 different instances, it gets talked about all over social media, and it becomes like the norm. We battle with it here. You get 5 or 6 jackasses on Twitter who are giving you some opinion about how Kentucky's going to win,
right,
you know, the SEC championship, and then it's like all these other millions of people who weren't doing, you know, who were like, wait a minute, I don't think Kentucky's going to win the East and go win the SEC.
Right.
Okay? And I find it interesting with this because I don't know how we're doing, because we've been locked up for so long, okay, mm-hmm, in our homes, living completely different, that now you're used to it. I think you are. I think you're dealing probably with what I'm dealing with,
right,
is your life hasn't been cratered, right?
No.
We still have had jobs. You get along with your family.
Right.
This is an odd, serious subject, but I went out a bunch of different places, the majority of them southern Indiana, just a few different places.
Same here.
And no one's wearing a mask.
Right.
And no one's social distancing.
Right.
I mean, there's only one place that I've been to in the last couple weeks that's made me wear a mask, okay?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how I should feel about that. I don't know what the I am struggling with what the levels are, because I agree with being safe.
Yes.
But I also agree with, we got to move on in some sort of a way and see what's going to happen there. I don't know if, I mean, this weekend was nuts. If you wait two
it
weeks and
nuts.
See what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see if there's spikes in some of these areas.
Well,
no,
all
you're
over
right.
the country.
Over the country. No,
even southern Indiana. I mean, southern Indiana for the last 3 weeks has been open.
Yes.
If you want to go and you want to go out to eat, and a bunch of people went out to eat, and I think restaurants are the ones that are having their feet held to the fire as much.
Sure.
Right? I think they're the ones. But if you go to any store, there is no social distancing that is going on. There's none. And there's no, and for me, and what's interesting, Bob talked about this. You know, Bob was talking about in his, you know, hour number 3, how he went a couple different places and like 80% of the people were wearing masks. I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I go into a place today. I went into Target today.
Yeah.
Okay. To pick something up because Best Buy did not want my business
today. They
didn't
want you. Yeah.
They're stay out of here.
Get out of here, you
leper. Get out of here. I mean, really, it's like, and I went to Target and I wore a mask, and there were about 3 other people in the store wearing a mask besides workers. I have been to places where no worker almost is in a mask. I don't know what the line is here.
I don't know
how I should feel about all of this. I really don't. And the closer we get to it, I am more convinced that it's going to be pushed that you're not going to have 10,000 fans in attendance for these football games.
I agree with that.
They're going to push for more.
Yeah,
they're gonna,
I agree
because
with that.
the country is going to buy in. The country has moved past the hey, we're scared of this, Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's how I feel. The country has said, hey, I'm tired of being scared of this unless a few pockets around the country, and to hell with it, here are some numbers that give me this reason that I'm willing to move on. And I just don't know how I feel about it.
It's definitely a social experiment, like Dr. Klein says whenever he joins Drew on Tuesdays. Like, I went to Kroger the other day, and I got out of my truck and started putting my mask on to walk in the Kroger. And another guy, you know, a few rows in front of me got out of his car at the same time without a mask. And we kind of, like, looked at each other, like, walking to Kroger. And he actually walked back to his car, grabbed his mask, and walked back into the store. It's like a social experiment.
And did you see the video of the lady in Staten Island that got cussed out of the store? Yeah. I mean,
but it's almost become that if you didn't have one on in public, you were the leper. But now if you have one on, it almost has completely switched in the last couple weeks.
I thought this weekend, one of the first things that came to my mind was like, this is the weekend where America said the coronavirus is canceled. Like, we're open. If something does happen, it's going to be really, really difficult to try to like start pulling things back. And say we have to shut this down now and shut this back down.
I don't
think that'll happen.
I would agree with you. The argument is at some point you got to try to poke your head out again and say, hey, what's going on here?
Right.
That would be the argument for kicking things back open. But I guess my point on top of it is I don't think there can be a middle of the ground. I almost think that restaurants are the only places that you're going to have practicing social distancing that is like regulated, that is responsible. I think everywhere else you go, I haven't been, guys, in one situation where I've been in public, whether it be Louisville or Southern Indiana, and I think Louisville has done a better job at this, quite frankly, because Indiana, it's just different. I mean, it is. I've been in a store where I'm like, there is active social distancing. I feel like people are going above and beyond, and I haven't felt that almost one time.
You may laugh at this, but when I was at Kohl's yesterday, I'm serious. They had the fitting rooms closed. Like, you couldn't go into the fitting rooms. I wanted to go try on the shorts, see if they fit, you know, because I had to get new sizes. And I couldn't try on anything that I had because they closed the fitting rooms, and it says, you know, for your safety. And then they had arrows in the aisles of, like, where, like, which direction you should walk so people aren't, like, running into each other. It's like, stay in this lane if you're walking this way, stay in this lane if you're walking the other way. And then they only had two cash registers open, and every time someone checked out, they got out Clorox wipes and wiped everything down from the counter to the little card where you pay with your card, that device, and the line for that was extremely long, and people were trying to stay apart. So I felt like yesterday when I was at Kohl's, that was one of the few places that I've been to where it feels like they're taking it seriously. And everywhere else I've been to, like Lowe's or Home Depot, is just kind of like, yeah, well, whatever. But that was the one spot that I've been to, Andy, where I felt like they were adhering to some type of rules.
Texter says, 437-9680, I've been in both Louisville and Southern Indiana. No one in Southern Indiana is wearing a mask. A ton of people do in Louisville. That's how I feel well.
Yeah, very few people were wearing masks other than the employees yesterday.
Texter says, Ethan Grossman's breakfast was better than Married Strebel's breakfast.
Okay.
Texter, any Jess and Jack update? No.
No, there's...
Texter says, Strebel, have you heard the new Gunna album?
I don't know who that is. Gunna? What's Gunna? Is that G-U-N-N-A? Gunna?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Oh, take a wild guess, Strebel. Who do you think it is? What do you think Gunna does?
Yeah, what do you think he does for a living?
I don't know.
Yeah, what's on his W-2? Texter, we know Ethan's a good chef. Just listen to him.
Hey, by the way, that breakfast was never made. He said this is what he was going to make, but he didn't make any breakfast. He made a damn sandwich. So I don't want to hear about it.
Still, it kind of blew you out of the water.
He didn't make it. How's it going to blow me out of the water when it's actually never physically made? I have this idea that today I'm going to go home and I'm going to make
bacon for your wife.
Yeah, I'm going to make a red snapper. I'm going to grill that up, and then I'm going to make couscous, and we're going to have escargot
what are you gonna make?
And all. It's a very expensive fish. It's like $50 a pound fish. I make, we're going to make this big fish, and if I don't do it, then it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. The actual act itself is what makes it happen. I just because Jack said, well, I, or not Jack, but Ethan, I was going to make omelets or whatever they wanted, and he didn't do it. So shut up, Texter. Would you make your wife? Eggos?
I'm sorry. I'm looking something up right now. Are you done? Is that
is that
all you have?
Yes, I'm done. That really makes me mad that people like had this high and mighty idea that just because I made breakfast for my wife that and your breakfast was a bum breakfast. What? Did you make some cinnamon Pop-Tarts? Ethan had a better breakfast than you did. He didn't make the damn breakfast. He made a peanut butter and jelly Sammy for his mom. You going to comment? Where's the text about that? It's the mom's anniversary. All you can do is a sandwich. Let's go, texters. Light him up.
I want you to look at that definition. Do not read that out loud.
Okay.
That's what I was laughing at. Mitch has no idea where
to go. Oh, man.
Oh, the text line caught it. The text line
Did
caught
they?
It. And, yep.
Well, I saw it on Chopped. It's on an episode of Chopped.
And got, Mitch, you know what we're talking about right now.
I know. And Nick and Pat have been walking back and forth in the office. They had no idea what the hell you guys are talking about.
What do you mean Nick and Pat have been walking back? Wait, is Pat ready? Is he there?
Pat's hanging around, yeah.
All right, well, let's go get... Tell him I want to take a run at him. Let's play. How long is the sound? We can't play all 4 minutes, can we? Or do we need to?
I mean, it's either that or we dive into Strieble watching Chopped.
I don't want to die. the snapper comment has frightened me from the...
It's a very expensive fish. They got mad at this lady because she put it through a grinder. Instead of, like, actually filleting it and cooking it. And they're like, if it's a $50 a pound fish and you ground it up, how dare you? She got chopped.
Can't read any of these.
I know.
I can't read any of them.
It just popped in my head.
All the words you could have used.
I know. Of all the expensive. I could have said, like.
You went to restaurant.
Just said Wagyu beef or, you know, some type of, like, expensive steak.
Oh. Out of all the things you could have used, you went to the expensive fish, the red snapper. What you decided to nuke the 5 o'clock hour with.
It was the last episode I watched.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in tears right now. Mitch, let's go to this Patty Ice sound where he called me and Diener out. I may have you stop it at some point. This is 3 minutes of... An impassioned Patty Ice talking about NASCAR Sunday morning on 93.9 The Ville.
I'll just go ahead and say names. Drew Diener crushed me. Andy Sweeney crushed me. Hell, Andy Sweeney was scoffing at something I said in an interview with a radio station here in town because they asked me to come on and talk about the race. And I was telling my buddy John Spears about, like, you know, why we kind of saw an uncompetitive race on Sunday. And Andy gets on the air, and he says, the first thing you do is make excuses. Like, you sound like the soccer fans that make excuses for people that don't like soccer. And I'm like, bro,
that's a great take,
I'm
buddy.
Telling yeah, you guys, this is a night track. This is a night race. Hear me out. I know what I'm talking about. And what happened? When the temperatures got cool on Wednesday night, we had a hell of a race, we had a ton of passing, and a phenomenal product. And on Thursday morning, the NASCAR race was the top news line in all of sports. You had controversy. You had great battles. You had wrecks. You had rubbing. Everything you wanted in traditional racing, you got at Darlington Speedway. So to all you boneheads that added in, let's pull some of these up, dude. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous.
The best.
Okay, so for example, let's go ahead and find Drew's tweet. At first, I was happy Drew was back on Twitter, and then he got mad at me because I didn't give him the right pick for the race, and it turned into a disaster. Our guy's crushing me. He's getting all upset. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And this is what Drew had to say on Twitter. He said, I thought they passed one another in NASCAR occasionally. WTF, this sucks, at Pat underscore Jagger. But no, I gave the reason why, and apparently to everybody that wanted to crush me, who, by the way, probably doesn't know a tenth of the knowledge that I know and I have obtained over the 21 years of watching and attending the sport, I have of knowledge of not just NASCAR, of automotive sports in general. I gave a legitimate reason why the racing wasn't great on Sunday, and I still got crushed. So you know what? To everybody that was out there crushing me, I'm right, you're wrong. I told y'all, you were going to have a heck of a race Wednesday night, and it lived up to all the hype because they raced on the Lady of Black at night like they traditionally should. And you had a phenomenal race. So, to anybody out there that wants to get on Twitter and crush me with no knowledge and no experience in giving an opinion or a take about a sport they know nothing about, slow it down.
Man.
Thank God we played all of that, Mitch.
All 3 minutes flew by.
Oh, my goodness.
It felt like
30
seconds.
I want more of it. I want more of it.
What up, boneheads?
There
what up, boneheads? Come at me, bro. Let's go.
No, here's all I'm going to say. You're right with the respect of the second race was much better than the first, but the problem is that's all that NASCAR got.
Yeah.
You guys had a third race on Sunday, and no one knows a damn thing about it. ESPN didn't do anything. It was anonymous. You had a one race, where the lights were on you, Pat, and now nobody cares again.
It's tough. I mean, I don't know how else to say it other than it's tough. But
what
I mean, we knew this was going to happen.
What did you do this weekend? Yes.
Well, to be honest with you, I went camping.
Let's hear about it.
And had a hell of a time. By the way, I saw a dog fight this weekend. That was one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in my entire life. Like,
what?
I'm not kidding. That was my weekend on this camping trip. There was like 30 people there. And by the way, getting people in Indiana to socially distance.
It's impossible.
It's impossible, dude. Like, I kept
Absolutely.
On telling people. They kept on trying to give me nugs and shake my hand. I'm like, bro, screw off. Like, you realize this thing still, like, I could have this thing and get you sick. And I don't want to do that. I don't want that weight on my shoulders. And you can call me a snowflake all you want. I don't care. Like, people are still, like, affected by this virus. And getting these boneheads to not do nucks and shake hands is like pulling teeth.
There you are, the always safe bro dude. That's why we love Patty Ice.
Yes. That's
Texas
me.
Texas says, who the bleep is the Lady in Black?
Oh, my God. That's what they call Darlington. Never mind. We're not even going to get into it. It's a racing thing. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, here's the only thing. So you agree that no one now is caring about this at all. They're back to not caring.
Now that sports are back.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. It's not looking good.
Yeah,
no,
the usual crowd that are into the sport and the diehards, like they're still going to watch it. And I think that NASCAR probably did pick up a small amount of new viewers. But other than that, now that we have, obviously, the NBA is trying to come back, the MLB is trying to come back, all these other – the NHL announcing today they're going to come back with the playoffs – people are going to watch
it's
that
over.
Instead. Yep.
Okay, well, there you go. So that was Pat's weekend. I had one other thing that I was going to ask you, but I can't remember
what
it was.
Is it about the apartment?
No, it wasn't about your apartment that's always falling down and you're always battling in some sort of a way. Oh, goodness, and now I can't remember what it was. Well, I'm sure we'll get to it. I just can't remember what it was. It was something funny. It was something about you. It was something funny. But I just can't remember what it was. Well, he'll be around there for the next few days,
yep.
Or the next few minutes, I assume. If I think of it, we'll holler at you.
No problem. I was going to ask if it's something to have to do with Hannah tweeting. I mean, there's no telling what filth she puts on Twitter.
I haven't seen anything. I did see this. Mitchell Hannigan just sent this to us.
Uh-oh.
The Governor Beshear said, quote, I will not be afraid, I will not be bullied, and I will not back down. Is that in response to the pool openings? Do we have any idea, yeah. Mitch? Do you have any idea?
Oh, no. I just saw that quote, okay. And I was thinking about tagging Drew Deaner in it.
Also, well, you absolutely should.
It may have.
It probably has already happened like five times already.
God, I'm trying to. What was I going to bring up to Patty Ice? Man, I was going to bring up something. That's going to kill me. I was going to bring up something to Patty Ice, but I can't remember what it was.
I do like the
killer
Dr. Feelgood in the background while you're on your rant.
Oh,
thank you. That was awesome.
Well,
thank you.
On the rant.
Yes.
What did you guys talk about on 93.9 today? What did Ennis talk about? Evan Conley? What was it? We talked about Evan Conley.
We didn't
for 60 seconds.
We did.
Well, we talked about, obviously, mock drafts, how people view about Jordan Warren. Obviously, we talked about Bob and Nick's blunder in the press conference.
Yep.
Oh my God. I mean, I don't know how. I think that's probably going to be the most playable sound this week. I think everyone's going to play that sound because it just happened. And is there anybody that we can think of in this market that would do what they did besides them? No, I mean, no. I mean, it was unbelievable. And, like,
that's
by the way,
point.
Did you guys hear the backstory of what I was doing when this happened? Because, obviously, we double recorded it, and that's how I got.
Oh, sure. If you don't double record it, we never get that info. Yeah.
So I was double recording it, and I just hear Bob come on, and I was so afraid that Bob was going to say something like whale penis or something like that. So I'm like, I'm yelling and screaming at Nick, turn it off. Take it out of their ear. Take it out of their ear. Because there's no telling. There's no telling when Bob's going to drop an F-bomb on the air. You never know. You never know. So I was freaking out. And that was one of the times where it was worth me freaking out because. Oh, well, there's Nick. But anyways.
What's Nick doing? Cutting reeds from 2 weeks ago to send to Kansas City? Hey, here's a Genesis Diamonds read from March 24th, just in case, when we were going under quarantine.
Here's Vitality from 4 months ago. I don't know where he went. He's gone.
Pat, we'll get you out of here with this. What did you think of the armed demonstration that hung the effigy on Governor Beshear over the weekend? What did you make of that?
My headphones just unplugged. Sorry, I didn't hear a word you just said.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yeah. You said the effigy about goodness. Governor Beshear? That's all I heard at the end. That's all I heard.
I was just trying to put you in an uncomfortable spot. No, I'm honestly just sitting here trying to think of what are the things that I was going to ask Patty Ice, but I can't think of it. So,
by the way, so I didn't have phone service at all, and I just told Mitchell Hannigan this while you guys were crushing people about the virus. And Process, by the way, texted me on Monday. I didn't see this until like 6 p.m. because I was camping. Didn't have service all weekend. Like, I had no service at all.
There you go.
I get back to Indy around 5 p.m., and the first text I see is from Process, and it says, "Hey, do we work tomorrow?" And I think I just responded yes.
Well, he didn't show up, did he?
I have no idea. But he had no idea we weren't supposed to work Monday.
I would imagine. By the way, shame on Process not playing that sound for Deaner. Because Deaner would have crushed you.
Oh,
it would have been great. Yeah,
it would have been great on all ends. It would have been great for me because I would have promoted my show. And by the way, Trading Paint every 9 a.m. if you guys do like NASCAR.
There you go. 93.9 The Ville every Sunday.
That's
there you
right.
go.
But, I mean, it would have been great for us. It would have been great for you. We would have got content. We would have got content because we probably would have played it. And I probably would have combated Drew. I mean, everybody would have won. But
yep.
Our boy's sleeping.
He forgot about it. All right, get out of here. We got to go to break.
See y'all.
All right, Patty Ice, there he is. We'll go to break. We'll wrap up the show here. I got a couple different sports things I want to get to. A David Johnson conversation that I'm sure they had over on 93.9 The Ville. We can get to that and all the teams reporting tomorrow around the area. So I definitely want to get to that as well. We already talked to the Grossman, so we've done pretty good. And a couple different things that I want to get to as we end today's show here on a Tuesday edition of The Take on ESPN 680.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Mitch, explain to the vice president what Karen is before we get to the Murray Minute Murray Minute.
Karen is, it's got a certain type. It's the
white woman.
Yes, with the shortened haircuts and
the mom jeans
and the Gucci purse
and James Strebel,
usually blonde.
Yes,
not always though.
And
entitled,
and she's always asking to speak to who?
The manager
on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
our good friends at Kroger would like to say thank you to all the loyal customers for continuing to shop with them during this time, and also to all the fine associates working hard each day to keep their stores clean, stocked, and open. And right now, Kroger is still hiring, guys. Immediate openings available. Apply today at jobs.kroger.com. Should also remind you, this is the one, the Colts one, right? AFC Championship game 2006.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Patriots-Colts, I believe it was.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, yeah, because in 07 the Giants won.
Oops,
it's ESPN 680-1057 Patriots-Colts. Colts win that one. We will have that on Thursday, 8 o'clock here on ESPN 680-1057. And it's all presented by Bosch Lawn Care, BJ Heating and Cooling, and OPC Pest Services. Can you guys help me here? I haven't seen much, but I don't follow maybe the right people. Is there any update on the Bob Baffert story that our guy just gave us? I am seeing Eric Crawford get a tweet. Let's see here. The Courier-Journal, to back you up, and we don't talk horse racing here, but if there's cheating here and then you attach that to any of the horses associated with Bob Baffert, especially, what is it, Nadal and Charlatan, who are the two biggies that would be going into the Triple Crown and the Kentucky Derby in September. This is a Diener subject, but somebody help me here. Two of the 15 Baffert horses to race at Oaklawn this spring tested positive for brand substances, including one of his Arkansas Derby division winners. If you remember, a couple weeks ago in the Arkansas Derby, they split the Arkansas Derby. He swept both of them. One of those winners at the Arkansas Derby tested positive, okay?
Wow.
Again, what happens on June 20th is the Belmont Stakes.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly happens there? A spokesperson for the commission confirmed there is a that it is awaiting split sample tests on the May 2nd card. Let's see here. Baffert said, quote, "The rules of Arkansas Racing Commission mandate confidentiality concerning any investigation into an alleged rule violation until there is a written decision by the stewards. I am extremely disappointed that in this instance the commission has not followed its own rules of confidentiality. I'm hoping for an expedited investigation and look forward to be able to speak soon about any written decision of the stewards if and when it becomes necessary and I am allowed under the commission's confidentiality rules." So that coming down. Remember, Baffert had to justify the Jimson weed or whatever it was. That was a big story as well. We don't talk very well about horse racing because that's all we know.
Yes, that's pretty much the justified and all the controversy and the positive tests. But it just, you know, Bob Baffert, man. You got to keep your house in order better than you have. I mean, you think you get smacked one time, you'd
look
learn
at
your
you.
Lesson, and here we go again.
He's
the one.
You're questioning Bob Baffert.
I am. I mean, it's his house. Clean up your house, man. And if you're
Mitch, are you questioning Bob Baffert here? Is that what's going to happen?
I don't think so. No, this is
are horse racing media people. Are there a lot of fanboys in horse racing media?
I think I want to say yes, because when this whole Justify thing went down last September, you know, a lot of people were calling it baloney from the start, and that's why
they went after the writer. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, it seems like Baffert's going after the news, being he's more upset that the news was broke about this than he is that another one of his horses may have tested positive. And so what's he doing? He's attacking the story, attacking the information. And it's just a bad look all around. I'm pivoting against Bob Baffert.
Pivoting against Baffert. It sounded like you were going to lose your voice there for a second.
I almost did.
You hung on to though.
The very last second.
I was worried about you.
Yes, it almost happened. But no, I'm against Baffert on this, man. I mean, you get caught once, you get caught twice, you've got to do something. It's not somebody else's fault here.
Mitch, do you have any sound that you would like to play for us today? We haven't mixed in nearly enough sound. That's my fault. What do you have back there that you deem worthy to play here on The Take on this Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, we still have a bunch of sound we could play. We have Locke crushing Tiger to open up his show this morning. We have another Diener passing the joint item. We have some Maben and Rummage sound. We also have me butchering Rummage's name.
And let's do the Rummage and Maben sound, and we still need to play our Bobby V sound as the V Show accidentally crashed the Jordan Wara teleconference. You know, one thing about that, Jordan Wara, he talked today for 15 minutes or so, and I don't know. We could maybe play some of that, Mitch. I don't know what you think. I had you cut one clip. I can't even remember what it was about. so we can maybe get to that. He did make an interesting point. He's like, the thing that stinks is I didn't get to work out last year because of my injury, and this year I can't work out right now because of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And like the 2 years that the guys tried to, and again, I don't think he's a first round draft pick, even though he thought he would be. Like, he's like, I think I'm late teens.
Yeah. I think the belief last year was if he would have gotten to work out for some NBA teams and got some positive feedback, that he would have been gone. I think he would have been gone last year if he was not injured and he would have been able to
carry. Some people think that.
Yeah, that was a story that was going around. Yeah. I think he's just disappointed that now he came back to U of L. He's not in the first round like he had hoped, and now the opportunity for him to maybe work himself into the first round with these workouts is dashed as well. So that does suck for him. It's sad.
You fizzled out there.
I did.
It's okay. You can fizzle out. Yes. Mitch, what is this about? This may have been a rummage sound. What are they talking about?
I'll let you guess. It's
recruiting.
Yes.
Louisville football.
Yes.
Louisville basketball. Okay. Yeah. Let's go.
Steve.
I'm listening.
I fell in love.
Again. Again.
I love Steve. It.
Yep.
I fell in love.
I know.
You knew I would.
I know.
This is becoming a weekend thing.
I know.
Shout out Coach Brown. Shout out my Louisville Cardinal football team. Rance Connor Jr. commitment.
I guess that one flew under the radar because I must
no,
have
that's
that
the
one
that we talked about.
That
he committed last week.
Was that the one that actually had the good offers?
I think he had a couple good offers.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you there.
South Carolina,
okay.
Was it Auburn, something like that?
Yeah, he had some good. Yeah. He actually had good offers. Okay,
and then they were doing the thing that us sports radio does in late May, early June, going through the football schedule game by game, and they got to Kentucky.
Then Kentucky at home. Lynn Bowden ain't gonna be there to save your rear end.
Touchdown, Terry.
Right. Yeah, that's
what
the point.
What are you doing?
Touchdown, Terry lit you up. Lit you up on your home field. He'll do it again. Lynn Bowden's not going to be there, but guess what's going to be there? That entire defense, that entire offensive line, all three of those running backs, they'll all be there.
Oh, I think
they'll all be there.
Listen, I think the story is, look at us taking maybe a rummage sound and making a content. Oh, I happen to think for Kentucky, it's what other options do you have at quarterback? That's my number one story. And I think for Louisville, it's do you have one of those it quarterbacks?
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I need to look this up. But The Athletic, did you happen to – I'm sure Ennis talked about this. Did you happen to see The Athletic did this draft?
Yes.
They did a draft of, Heisman winners. And obviously, yeah, they drafted 35 players. And obviously, you know what you're going to take. You're going to take a bunch of quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
And so I'm looking here. What round – Malik Cunningham went in one of these.
I thought he went fifth round.
Mikhail Cunningham went in one of these. Yeah, he went – Rondell Moore, fourth round. He went, hang on just a second, because I read this
over. I'm
pretty
sure it was fifth round.
It was pretty quick. So, yeah, he went fifth round.
There it is. Okay.
31 out of 35. And, like, I don't know. I asked the question. It's a generic topic, but, like, does Louisville have one of those quarterbacks?
I don't know.
And if they do, then that's much different. I like Cunningham. I've never thought of Cunningham as, and I know Louisville fans are probably bloating this up a little bit more. I never saw him as like a true contender for one of these awards, although some of his numbers and some of his Pro Football Focus numbers for the amount of time that he played,
right,
it changes things. What I would worry about, and you could say this with any team, is Evan Conley ready? Mm-hmm. Because Mikhail Cunningham has habitually been injured.
Yes.
And that's not even game time. It can be practice. We have seen that. And that really hampered Louisville early in the season. And they were lucky they got Cunningham to bounce back. Because
Absolutely.
Puba Pass was bad.
Bad.
And we know that. And for Kentucky, it's who else is there? And it's not going to be Joey Gatewood.
No.
I think that could, in other words, be the quarterback. How much of an equalizer would it be? And there is a chance that Lynn Bowen's better at the than what he did than what Terry Wilson's going to be able to bring, even though Terry Wilson can throw better.
There is an opportunity there. Yes, I think the way that Kentucky's offensive line was able to dominate Louisville's offensive line definitely opened up things for Lynn Bowden more as a running quarterback than it would maybe for a passing quarterback. I don't know. I don't get where the supreme confidence is that where you go from 45-13, you think, oh, you know, that was just all Lynn Bowden. I mean, Kentucky's defense shut Malik Cunningham and that offense down, completely shut them down. Outside of the touchdown throw in the first series of the game, and then I think he had one more, he didn't do a damn thing the rest of the game. Javion Hawkins didn't do a damn thing the entire game. And I'm sorry, but that offensive line from Louisville's not changing. In fact, it got worse.
Well, they don't think that. Their thought would
be
they
don't have to tell them then.
Well, their thought would be there's more depth there. There's a year with Ledford, and yes, you lose Becton, but the other talent can kind of rise. I'm just giving you the other side of it.
What other talent? I mean, you can say depth all you want. He's had one recruiting cycle, correct?
Understandable, but what's the negative if Terry Wilson's not good? And what's the positive if Louisville has a good quarterback? Well, a quarterback that if you pick 35 players to win the Heisman, he's picked. Now, that doesn't mean anything. He's not going to win the Heisman. He's not going to be at New York. And
sure,
Louisville's not going to be a team, you know, that we're going to talk about. I'm not selling it that way, but I'm saying if that is true, if Cunningham gets better and he stays healthy, and by the way, I think he'll get better. I don't think he'll get healthy. If you made me make that bet, is he going to be playing all of these snaps? The answer I would go would be looking at the history of Louisville's had all these interchangeable quarterbacks where one hasn't been really much better than the other one.
Right.
You bring in Cunningham, he'd be good, and then he'd get benched for a game, right? Then you bring in Puma, he'd be fine for a couple drives, then he'd stink. Then you bring in Evan Conley. Like, it's been this mismatch. You don't have that this year.
No, it's
what's the value of that when you have that for the first time, and you have that with a guy who might be actually pretty good? They had that a couple years ago with Puma Pass. You could argue they had that last year with Puma Pass. I don't believe that. I believe Cunningham would have won that job earlier or straight up just that job.
Sure.
Puma Pass is not a good football player. It's not – I mean, he's just not. Okay?
He's not
a good quarterback. If they want to try him at tight end or they want to try him at anything else, knock yourself out.
Right.
If, you know, whatever it may be. But as far as being a quarterback, he cannot be a legitimate option this year. Louisville has that, and you can build around that. I don't know what Kentucky has. I don't trust Terry Wilson if Terry Wilson were coming in without an injury. I don't trust Terry Wilson. And so what's the negative when Kentucky has the defense, has an offensive line, has a running back, right? They have all these different things, but you don't have a quarterback.
Well, they didn't have a quarterback last year, and things end up okay. I mean,
they were 3-5 in the SEC. Last year was okay because you lost a quarterback.
Okay.
If you duplicate last year to this year, the best thing for you is going to be beating Louisville.
And here's what I say to that. When they lost their two games back-to-back to South Carolina and Mississippi State, what's one of the things they tried to do with Sawyer Smith? And they were bad at it. Throw it all over the field. They tried to throw it all over the place with Sawyer Smith, and that is not who they are. That's not what Mark Stoops built. That's not what he wanted to do. I guess they thought that Sawyer Smith had a strong arm, and they were going to try it out and see if they could get some things going with their wide receivers. Their bread and butter, their strength is run the damn football. So even if Terry Wilson,
you think they'll do it this year?
I do think they'll do it. Well, how could they not? I mean, you had Mark Stoops' best teams were run-heavy teams. Boom Williams, Benny Snell, the next year, Benny Snell. The next year after that, Benny Snell. Last year, running quarterback,
I mean,
A.J. Rose.
He hasn't had Kavassi a quarterback
Smoke.
Worth a damn.
No, he hasn't. Christopher Rodriguez. They still have the offensive line. The only one they're missing is Logan Stenberg. Other than that, and Drake Jackson, according to Pro Football Focus, is the most valuable offensive lineman returning to the SEC. All these things matter. So if Terry Wilson stinks or he gets hurt or whatever, I doubt Mark Stoops is going to say, okay, we're going to take Bo Allen or Sawyer Smith, we're gonna start slinging the rock again.
Who's the backup quarterback?
God, I mean, I don't know. I guess if I had to like put a stamp on it right now, I guess it would have to be Sawyer Smith. And I hate saying that, But, I mean, Nick
I don't think there's any case. I think it's absolutely Sawyer Smith.
Nick Scalzo's coming off an injured knee. Joey Goodwood's not going to be eligible. Bo Allen's a true freshman that didn't even get a spring.
So you're back to where you were last year.
Back to where you were last year. But I think they learned their lesson that you can't throw him in there and say, oh, just throw the football, young man. You got to throw them in, put him in there, run the damn ball and short passes or something, and don't let him take over a game.
I don't disagree. Then there shouldn't be the optimism around Terry Wilson. And what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And what you're saying is we're going to play football by hiding our quarterback. So what's the,
if Wilson's not good or not ready?
Here's my point.
What if he is good?
He absolutely could be. And I'm giving that Mikael Cunningham's going to get better.
Sure,
and I don't know if that's going to happen either. It very well may happen. But again, it's been a funny offseason and everything else. Here's what I'm wondering: the physicality from Kentucky. Okay, last year, and the demoralizing nature that they were able to move the football with Lynn Bowden is something that is also physical as well as psychological.
Yeah.
Kentucky will not be that this year. They'll run the football. Do not get me wrong. But, I mean, I don't believe they will mock Louisville. Let's just use the two teams against each other for a second. So if you believe year number two with established who the quarterback is, okay, and you get better play, then Louisville's offense and a guy like Mikael Cunningham, they can lessen the effect of the physicality of Kentucky, right? That's the thought process.
Okay.
And can the physicality of Kentucky hide Terry Wilson enough? To me, those are the questions. Last year, Kentucky didn't hide their quarterback. The quarterback was the best player on the team.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They were the best player on the team.
Yeah.
And like that's why I agree with Rummage there is Lynn Bowden isn't there to bail you out. 2 years ago, the defense bailed you out.
Okay.
I think the team this year is going to look more like the team 2 years ago than the team last year. Not that the data is bad,
right,
but the data is skewed because what Lynn Bowden had to do is just not something. That's why he was revered as a college football player. Otherwise,
right,
he would have left Kentucky, been damn near undrafted, and been a gadget player on special teams. His career would have been nothing at Kentucky.
I agree.
His career would have been how many catches at Kentucky?
Gosh,
60, 70?
Something like that, yeah.
Not even 100 catches. I mean, what would have actually have been? And so I don't know if Louisville can catch up with their aerial attack, if you will, their running game with Javian Hawkins and Hassan Hall, if they can catch up and Kentucky comes back down, or if Kentucky's physicality, again, is just too much to where, after a little bit, Mikael Cunningham and company looked very ordinary, which is what happened at Kroger Field last year.
And here's my, and to Steve Rummage's point, how many times did Lynn Bowden sack Mikael Cunningham? How many times did Lynn Bowden pick off Mikael Cunningham? How many times did they stuff Javian Hawkins at the line of scrimmage? How many times did Lynn Bowden defensively overtake the game? I think they missed that point. They all want to say, oh, it was just Lynn Bowden. It was a one-off. It's because he's a quarterback. They ran this gadget offense. What are the answers on defense for Kentucky?
Well, here would be my point. I agree. Kentucky on the lines, Kentucky defensively. Okay, is going to be there. My point is, when you had to throw the ball 2 years ago, Terry couldn't do it. Terry couldn't do it. And when you had to throw the ball last year, could not be done. This year, I wonder if there is a selling of throwing the ball. Because I'm with you. They can run the ball, but are they going to try to fund? I mean, last year was all about how the Eddie Grant offense, and that was with Terry Wilson.
That was
the narrative. I don't know if that's going to be repeatable. So if you run, are you going to be able to run like Lynn Bowden? Lynn Bowden's better than the running backs on Kentucky's roster right now.
Yes, I agree with that.
Right now, he is. I mean, I like Smoke is good. And Rodriguez, they have good players.
Yes.
But Lynn Bowden was so much better, and you can't run like any of those plays.
Right.
Like that entire offense doesn't exist. I don't know.
It's a good question. These are all good points, and it's hard to grasp what the future is going to be with both of these teams. I mean, they both have question marks, and I think that for Kentucky, it just, damn it. just the Joey Gatewood thing would solve so many problems. It would solve so many problems, so many issues. But it's just not going to happen. I don't think there's any thought that he's going to be made eligible, and that puts Kentucky in a spot. That puts them in the spot of Terry Wilson better be healthy and Terry Wilson better be good, or it's either run the football and be successful with it, or people figure out that's it.
It's the same for both, but it seems like the fail-safe for Kentucky is not there again.
You
don't like Sawyer Smith.
No,
and I'm just not sold on Terry Wilson.
I just don't think that they would fall back on let's let Sawyer Smith throw the football 800 times a game. I remember watching the game against Mississippi State, or no, it was South Carolina, where he got hurt. And they continue to throw the ball down the field. And everyone's like, well, his shoulder's not right. And then why are you throwing the ball down the field repeatedly? I don't think they would make that same mistake again. It's like they're trying to make him fit into their system, and I don't think that they're going to make that same mistake
By the way, 100 people have texted me how Javian Hawkins had 142 yards and a touchdown against Kentucky.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, bravo, Javian Hawkins. That's great. I mean, that really propelled your team into the stratosphere. What was the score again? Texas score. Can y'all text the score? Can you text the overall stats? I'm curious about those. Good for Javian Hawkins. How did he take that? Was he crying about L's down like Scott was after the game? Was he boo-hooing too? Good game on Javian Hawkins' part. The rest of your team, bums.
Texas says Terry completed 68% of his passes in 2018. LMAO, what are you talking about? Couldn't throw the ball. What does that fan think that Terry Wilson's a good thrower of the football? No one thinks that. You don't think that.
Well, I can't think that if it's like 150 yards. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, he went games without throwing a touchdown pass. I mean, good for completing 68%, but it's not like he was throwing for 68%, 350, and three touchdowns a game. That's not what his stats were. I'm not gonna agree with that texter. No, not
texter
at all.
Javian Hawkins had a 70-yard run. Half of it came on one carry.
Wow, that's so exactly. Thank you. He had one run. Good for him.
Texas says, Sweeney, can you add Blankenbaker to the show every day? Then we can just have two dumbass honks going back and forth.
It's not a bad idea.
Texas says, this is boring radio. I agree. Give me lock sound, Mitch. Give me something from Lachlan McClain, and we'll close it out with Bob penetrating the press conference of Jordan Wara today.
And, of course, the takeaway that people are trying to give you is how great Tiger looked. And let's be very clear. Tiger looked great off the tee. Tiger looked phenomenal off the tee. Tiger hit 14 out of 14 fairways off the tee. His entire game did not look great. Don't get twisted. Don't get snowed by the worshiping media doing what the worshiping media does, which is only showing you his tee shots and not his mid-irons and his approach shots, which were not particularly impressive. So, yeah, the guy's healthy and good for him. He's also boring as ever, by far the most boring person. Dean are out there trying to say Tom Brady was the most boring. No, Tiger was the most boring by far. If you had to pick four people to play with based on personality, Tiger would be DFL by a wide range because he's a robot and he is team one. But Phil and Brady made it interesting.
That event was so for him.
It was.
It really was.
Yes.
It was so for him.
And of course he put money on Phil and Tom.
And he lost immediately.
Yeah. Yes.
Give us something else here, Mitch. Go ahead, tickle us.
We can't behave like a high school party when the pool's open. And no one thinks we should. So the people that think that is like, oh, see, that means the pool parties are bad. No, high school parties are bad for the virus. When they're taking selfies and passing a joint around, maybe. I don't know. But, no, we definitely can't get pools back and behave like we're at a high school party. Definitely can't do that.
Now, I just hear all out. I hear all these references. So you just uttered a phrase, passing a joint around. You don't think that's going to be on Andy's mixtape?
Oh, I probably has over many times because I don't think – I mean, I brought this up to someone in that age demographic, and I said, you know, you basically made out with six people that passed a joint around a party. And I said, wow, I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah.
I need to know what Dieter's age group is.
Me too.
He said that multiple times.
Yes.
I need to dive into that at some point.
And he's fixated on this joint passing stuff.
He sounds 182 years old as well.
You can't pass the reefer.
Passing a joint around. They used to call me Roach Clip.
call me Roach.
Mitch, do we have anything else?
Yeah, we have another lock sound and another we have Brian Hall sound. But I just want to say before we get out of here, we never really got into the match, like basically what Locke was doing and Diener were doing today, like our what we want, like Louisville, the match. I'm very proud of the matchup I made. What about Papa John and John Daly, the Johns? I feel like that'd be a great duo.
Oh, that would be absolutely great. Yes.
Sweat.
You better believe it. That'd be great. I'd love to hang out with those guys.
I got Papa John and John Daly versus the Hammer and Brooks Koepka. That's what I came up with.
Oh, to hell with Brooks Koepka. Him and his girlfriend that he doesn't like.
You might have not survived the weekend with Papa John and John Daly.
That'd be a fun time.
There's a lot of partying, yes. There's going to be a lot of after-hours partying with those two. Man, whew.
Texas says half of Hawkins' yards and his only touchdown was on that run right before halftime.
Yeah, they didn't score again the rest of the game. Where was he
Texas
in the second
says,
half?
Texas says Farmer Fran is what they call you. I like that. all right, you want to play this Bob sound to end today? Or do you want to play more lock sound? What other lock sound do we have? We got to get out of here.
It's just him taking a little swipe at Strebel. We can play another time.
Well, let's go. Let's get that in. Go ahead. Yeah, if he's taking a swipe at Strebel, play it.
Next up, local player showing up in the first round of a 2020 mock draft, David Johnson from U of L, showing up at number 23 in the class of 2021. Again, pointing out to James Strebel and some of the BBN honks, David Johnson, better than Devin Askew, at least according to the NBA scouts.
We'll see, Locke. We'll see. John Calipari just happens to figure out ways to get those young point guards to work out. So knock yourself out with David Johnson.
Let's play the Bob sound, nuking the Jordan Warren teleconference. We'll get out of here. Reminder, over on 93.9 The Ville, Diener and Jason Nemus will have all the reaction to Governor Beshear, Scotty D, at 7 o'clock. Mm. Bonus hour coming your way here on 680-1057.
Jordan, it's Russ Brown, Kentucky today. How about giving us an idea to start off with what you've been doing and how you've handled this situation, and I'm sure we'll have questions.
Whoa, who is that? I know who this is. It's Jordan Wara. We're going to go to the presser right now on ESPN Radio.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.